Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hello, thanks for listening. Before we jump into this episode, a couple of super fast things. One, thank you. Thank you for giving of your time and listening to this podcast. We are having so much fun putting it together, and I think that you will hear in this episode especially how much fun it is in our home as you get to meet my husband in a second. Goals for 2021 with this podcast. We will continue to release episodes every week. Those episodes including interviews, teaching tips, repertoire explorations, and these doctors are in. Next week, we'll be announcing something super special, so stay tuned. I cannot wait to tell you something new that we're adding to the lineup thanks to an awesome collaboration that's about to come your way. We're also going to continue the tradition of a summer teacher PD week, PD standing for professional development. Hopefully that can be hybrid where there's an in-person or virtual option, but we're going to wait until we see what happens with the vaccine and COVID-19 before we make any final plans. I will keep you up to date as we make decisions, but you can also follow us at patreon.com/musicedmatters to get the information first and foremost. Speaking of which, thank you for being a patron. If you're listening, I'm so excited for what we did at our monthly check-in chat. You can join us once a month as we make goals, brainstorm ideas, find solutions, and just have a great cohort of friends across the country. All right, that's all for now. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. It is an honor to be your host. And with that, I present to you, thanks to Kinnison Choral Company. Make sure you check them out for any of your rehearsal track needs. Thank you, Kinnison Choral Company. Anyway, without further ado, episode 40. Welcome to The Doctor Is In. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and these episodes are where I seek to answer questions, whether those are from listeners or from parents in choir or from students in my classes at the university level. But today is special, and I've had this episode on the spreadsheet since before the podcast got started. Yeah, so you made me. It's so good. This episode features my wonderful husband, Spencer Birch, who is not a musician and is not a teacher. You'll figure out what he does in a second. But we're going to answer questions from a non-music person today. And I hope that this makes you smile and that it brings joy to you as we kick off 2021. So here we have episode 40, The Doctor Is In.
Doctor and Mister.
Doctor and Mister. That is the correct way. If you address it, we have to make sure people
know
that.
The Doctor and Mister are in.
Yeah, so when you write a letter, if you address the outside of an envelope to someone where the wife of the partnership has the doctor, you actually write Doctor and Mister. The doctor comes first.
Second tier.
But thanks for putting me through school. Welcome. It was great. I mean, we had the assistantship, but it was still nice to have your support. Good job. Who is Spencer Birch? Tell the listeners.
I am Spencer Birch.
Really? Surprise. Okay, what do you do?
I am an engineer at Gulfstream Aerospace.
And what do you do with that?
We have a group that works on the interior of the aircraft. It's a business aviation company. And so we do all the designs and review the designs and whatnot for all the cushy leather and stuff for all the inside of the airplanes.
You make sure things are quality controlled and awesome.
Yes, high quality.
And when he says Gulfstream, he's talking like that old Kesha song, like a G6. That's a Gulfstream.
Is that a Kesha song?
Maybe not. I don't know. I'll look that up later.
That song dates before Kesha.
No, I'm pretty sure. It's not Lady Gaga. It has to be Kesha. She's like Spreckshima. She's speak singing.
Well, there was a G5 song before that.
Okay. Anyway, that's Gulfstream, and that's where you work. Yeah. And that's why we're in Savannah.
Savannah, Georgia.
Because Gulfstream was founded here. When was Gulfstream?
No, Gulfstream was not founded here.
Where was it founded?
Bethpage, New York.
Bethpage? How did it end up in Savannah?
Grumman was up there, and then Grumman made a plant down here, and then
that's why we're in Savannah.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
No.
How long have you been in Savannah?
Since 2003, so it's not 2021.
Yes,
so
2021.
18 years?
That's a good long while. I've been here since 2010. Years. So we met in 2012. How did we meet?
Triathlons.
Yeah, we were doing a triathlon. Mm-hmm. He came, in triathlons, if you've never done one, they actually put the name or the age
and gender.
So it says your age and then F or M for gender. And so he goes like trotting by me before a race starts. And I'm like, oh, he's kind of in my age bracket, but I was not interested.
I ran like a stud.
Oh yeah, total stud. I'm pretty sure you passed me on the run and said something snarky. Or I passed you on the run. You passed me on the bike, I passed you on the run.
Well, I was with the friend.
Oh, right. Uh-huh. I still run faster.
Next question.
Okay, so what do you know about music? Did you grow up with any music in your life?
No, did not grow up with music in my life. So the majority of things I know about music are what you have taught me and what I listen to on the radio.
And Spencer's the bomb. Since we first started being friends, before we even dated back in 2012, Spence would show up to choir concerts and usher. So he totally jumped in whole... I don't think you know what you were getting into.
I was just like moving boxes and telling people where to go.
So we've been working on Spencer matching pitch as long as I have known him. And what makes it so... Okay, clearing that here. What makes it so much fun is that he can match his pitch perfectly with me in his falsetto. Yeah. Sounds good. Ooh. Ooh. Isn't that so good? But then if I give him a note, like, ooh. We're still working on it. Our happy birthday renditions are pretty much the bomb.
They just kind of fluctuate
and freestyle. We should do a version of that. Not right now. Okay, so engineer, no musical background, but you love and appreciate music. So what did you listen to growing up?
It was new rock at the time, but now it's considered classic rock, I think. Like 90s, early 2000s.
Rock,
grunge rock, a little bit of classic rock back in the 70s and 80s. That's what Dad listened to. So that was the main thing, but expanded to all kinds of stuff.
So since we've been together, you've been to multiple opera things.
Oh, all kinds of music stuff.
You say that with a smile, which is great. Yeah. You've been to symphonies. You don't always fall asleep, which is a great sign.
I usually do, though.
You do sometimes. There's always a moment where you fall asleep.
Like the second act, like the middle part.
Hey, you didn't fall asleep during Hamilton.
No, it's different.
Oh, okay. It's different. Yeah. It's different. All right, so we've talked about who Spencer is, and I just wanted to share on the podcast how this all got started. So in March, let's rewind. I asked you if I could do... Yeah. I asked you if I could start a podcast in the middle of grad school. I remember calling in and saying, I want to start a podcast, and I think I knew exactly how I want it to go. What did you say?
I don't know. Something about, like, let's just wait. Finish what you're doing now. Enough on your plate. Try it later on.
Someone to keep your feet on the ground. Us creative types need that.
I'm gonna do it all.
I want to do everything. So I remember coming back March of 2020, so now grad school's done, and looking ahead at what was I going to do. One of the things that I really love is measurement of product. I love working on a process and creating a product. That's why I love choir. Very similar to what you do. Mm-hmm. You make an airplane. I make a choir song. It's very cool.
Beautiful things.
Yeah, very beautiful things. Anyway, we were talking about what I could do during the lockdown that I could be productive. And so I think I mentioned just in passing I'd like to do a podcast, and I think we just started digging into research. You found the microphone. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the mic has its own little boom stand.
Sorry, I was touching it.
Yeah, it's gonna make ugly sounds, but it's okay. It's your first podcast.
It is my first podcast
ever. I'm pretty proud. Yeah. So he found the microphone, I did all of the technology work, and then you ended up popping in probably around episode 12 or 13 to help me get a new setup and a new system. So I can't thank you enough for letting me do this.
Well, you're welcome.
It's a lot of fun. So purpose of today's episode is to answer questions that are presented to me by Anana. So I don't know these questions. I have no idea what he's prepared. I'm ready. What is your first question, Mr. I don't know?
Can we have like a drum roll? What is the significance of middle C, and who decided it was that specific frequency or note or whatever?
Oh, that's a lot of questions. Okay, so frequency and everything.
Just pick the middle C part.
We can talk about the whole thing. Yeah. The frequency dates back to all of the great things. Jesse Strickland and his 2-Minute Music History an awesome episode on where all of those frequencies came from. Nice. Because it's very detailed. You'd love it. Super sciencey, super mathematical. But middle C is important. We talk about middle C a lot because it is the note that connects the treble clef and the bass clef. So when I'm playing piano, my right hand, for the majority of its life, reads treble clef. And my left hand reads bass clef. And that middle C is kind of the alien spaceship that hangs out in the middle that connects the two of them. So if you think about the alphabet, the musical alphabet, if that's the middle C line, the space above would be A, B, C,
D.
Yes! And then you get to the line of the treble clef, which is E.
Okay.
And so backwards, E, D, C, what comes before that? A.
A, B. B,
good. And then it connects to the A, which is the top of the game. You are so great at this game. That's it connects to the top of the bass clef. So middle C is important because it connects the staffs and makes it a grand staff. It also has a lot of significance when you're learning piano or when you're learning to read music. For example, a lot of the guys that I teach in choir might learn treble parts until they start to go through the voice change, and teaching them how to navigate into the bass clef, or tenors who have to sing treble clef mm-hmm. and bass clef. It just becomes part of understanding how it's all tied together. It's a music reading helpful thing too.
Cool.
Did that answer it? There's a lot more. We'll go watch Jesse's thing because he did all the super diggy research into the Greek history of it.
I imagine someone's like, ooh, yep, that's middle C.
Now okay, it's that's everything off perfect of it. Pitch. Like that's no, like
the middle.
Like
they started the middle and then they're like, all right, let's just make
no,
everything.
No, it definitely didn't start on C. It actually started on these like little sets of. We don't need to. That's
bonus,
a whole
bonus question.
Okay, keep going. What's your next question?
Oh, hold on. Pull up my
middle
device.
C. It's pretty impressive that you remember middle C. Okay, next. I'm ready.
What does it mean for a song to be, quote, in the key of G? Or in the key? What does that even mean? It's no like, one really knows.
Yeah, we know. I'd love to tell
all of
you.
Us non-music people are like, what are you even talking about?
Okay, so like, if I'm playing waltz in F or waltz in E flat. So those keys are the key signature. It tells us the organizational structure from which the notes are going to come.
So it's like a bounds.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying you're going to use this set of numbers when you're doing set mathematical stuff. Is that a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Mathematical stuff. If you're doing sets in math, it's very similar.
Okay.
So in the key of C, there are no sharps and no flats. Translation, there are no black keys. Unless there's an accidental. Little black keys.
Yes.
So in the key of C, it's just all the white keys.
Gotcha.
In the key of F, there's one black key, and it's B flat. And we memorize all these things.
I asked like a first grade question and you're answering like the ninth grade
answer. Well, I'm going to jump
and
ahead
I'm like,
to
over
like,
over my head.
I'm going to jump to college level here for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
So you can handle this.
Here you go.
If in the key of is telling you the notes or the sets or the collection of notes that song's going to come from.
Okay.
You actually learn a lot about where that song comes from in history based on what key they use. Because the key signatures we use today weren't really a thing in the medieval period or the Renaissance or really most of the Baroque. It wasn't until it was written down in like the 1700s that we practiced common practice tonality that we have today, like the major minor system. That didn't even come about until
Rameau. Yeah, that would have been a good question, major minor, but next time.
Yeah, it's still part of the organizational structure.
Okay.
It's all related.
Okay.
Good question.
Yeah, thank you.
Mom, your favorite waltz that I play is in A flat.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Feels good.
Good.
All right, next question. So what are the different major, whatever meaning that means, parts of a song, like the bridge, chorus, verse, like what are those different things?
Okay, so those things are what we call form, a song's form. And how the song is organized, the form, helps you classify it in genre. It helps you when you're in the compositional process. It helps us as educators in the teaching process. So when you're saying bridge, chorus, all that stuff, let's take like a pop song. If you were listening to a pop song, there's usually some type of verse and then the chorus that comes back and repeats. So a typical form, a typical popular song form, this dates all the way back to the 1890s, would be A, B, A. That's like the form of a verse, something else in a verse. That was the original popular song.
Something else is like the chorus, like the connector.
It could be the connector. Mm-hmm. So now this verse chorus bridge thing is all the rage. Well, don't forget the beat drop if we're listening to music from like, yes. Anyway, so there'd be a verse and a chorus. So you assume the next verse will have similarities to the first verse, just maybe different
words. But the
words.
Chorus like repeats.
The chorus will likely repeat. Maybe some ad lib if you're listening.
So normally that's where you sing along in a song because you're like, oh, hey, I remember that. I've heard that before.
Yes.
I'm going to sing along.
Yes. Yeah. And then the bridge is something that's not like the verse and not like the chorus. And it normally connects either back to a chorus or back to, it's a connector to prolong the song. And again, those are just their ways to organize and analyze the music, their ways to help in the compositional process, their ways to analyze and break down the song in the teaching process.
Hmm.
But you usually know the chorus.
Yeah, I usually stop singing when it's the other parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except that one song. We won't talk about it.
Next question. Wait, that was three.
That was three already. Do you feel smarter?
What, do I get to do a few more? Or
do you have more prepared?
I did prepare more.
Okay, I'm ready.
Well, I was prepared, just a little transparency, in case you were like, that's a dumb question, next.
There are no dumb questions. Sometimes you do ask some really funny questions, and I'm like, I can't even begin to explain that to you. But at least you're interested in asking questions.
Next question.
Uh-oh.
This is one I'm glad we're getting to. So, do drums play to, like, normal written music? Because they're just, like, doing their thing, and like the guitar is playing, like the music person's playing, but the drums just like going to town. Are they like playing to music, or like do they just like match a beat, or is there, like a different way of writing down what?
How about like all the above? So there is a unique staff and unique symbols for percussion, and people get doctorates in that,
cool.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And there is so you can, like in an orchestra, have all of those percussion parts written out. Just like you would be reading for anything else, it just looks a little different because it's not using it still uses the lines and spaces, but it's not using the note heads like we use for, you know what a note
is. So you can't do like, I'm going to do a half note.
Yeah, you can, but not all of those songs, not all those instruments, excuse me, can sustain for
a
half note. So it's different in that perspective. So yes, you can play percussion, play drums from written scores. There's also styles and... drummers often will learn certain styles that they can mash up and arrange in their own way. But their job is mostly to, knowing the form of the song, play something that is cohesive, keeps it together, keeps the beat. Maybe there's a fill, like where they fill in the spaces. If you are a drummer and you're listening and have answered this incorrectly, please do let me know. But every drummer I've ever sang with in a band, it's ad lib, but it's within a structure.
Can I have a drum set?
No. I can imagine that now. Oh my gosh. Well, if you learn to play it.
Oh, I already know how to play it.
Oh, sure you do. Like you play the kitchen. Okay. You have any more questions?
Well, you actually kind of started kind of dabbling in this last one earlier, but it might be something worth revisiting.
Okay.
And I think I might not have used the right words here. Why is the treble and bass lines of music separated rather than combined? So you have like the treble clef, bass clef. Why are they separate, not just like smashed together and have a bunch of lines?
It's hard to read. It's for ease of readability. Could you imagine? It's like, why do we have phone numbers that are three numbers and then four numbers?
Why do we have phone numbers at all? Who uses phones?
True. Cell phones.
Yeah, just like hit text the bass or something.
Anyway. Yes, it helps with finding where the notes go.
Okay.
All right.
You answered them all.
I did, and none of those were hard, but those are good questions.
Well, I was looking at questions that were like simple questions, like basic questions. Questions that you wouldn't have a normal music person ask you.
That's good.
You won't have a teacher come and say, hey, what's a treble clef?
I hope not. Although I'm happy to tell you if that's what you need to know. You know which one's treble and which one's bass, right? Yeah, you're drawing. Good job. Good job.
Oh, yeah, they
drawing.
Can all
they
see me.
They can't see you. Good job.
Well, if they watch the YouTube videos, they can. Plug.
Good job, dear. You're natural at this. Hey, my friends, I hope that this has been really good. Don't go anywhere because you have one more thing you have to say. I hope it's gotten you excited about what you have ahead because it's your job to teach the Spencers in your classroom all these random things.
Please teach us.
And it's important that you know the audience members that attend or listen to your concerts or come into parent-teacher nights, they might be wondering, where did they get that note from?
Yeah.
And these are just things that we always like to talk about. It kind of keeps me grounded.
Assume we're all dumb.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Make it entertaining.
Yeah.
It's part of the fun. All right, last question I always ask the guests.
I don't know this question.
Yes, you do. What's one thing that really matters that you want the listener to walk away from today with?
Ooh. Like, in music or just in general matters?
In Spencerland.
In Spencerland, what matters? Something that I think about often, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is, you know, this is our life. We have a life. We're here on Earth for a certain number of years, and we get one shot at it. And so to go out and do good stuff, work hard, do things now that you won't regret later on, and keep that as the focus of a lot of things of your life. And that to me matters a lot, so that you don't get old and go, oh, I wasted my life away. So to me that matters.
That does matter.
Hopefully that was the right kind of answer.
That was the perfect answer. Okay, hey, good. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was fun.
I can't believe we finally
did it. I was kind of nervous about it.
No, you never get nervous. That's my first
time doing like a podcast video thing.
Well, thank you so much for listening to the show or watching it on our YouTube channel. I'm so thankful that you give us a place to share thoughts and ideas and be together. So I will see you next time. Remember that what you're doing matters. We all know that music matters. And I'll see you next time on the Music Ed Matters podcast.